It's time to get rambling with your host of the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast, Nick Pearl.
Am I going to just slip, hit my head? That's the main thing when it comes to high flying, is believing you can do it. It's literally breaking you down to rebuild you. I got the giant part of the tiny, so that's what made me happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast. I am your host, Nick Pearl, and today I'm being joined by an up-and-coming luchador down in LPW, also got a chance to work a little bit in the New Japan Pro Wrestling Academy. I'm being joined today by the Tiny Giant. Tiny Giant, how we doing?
You're doing really good today. I can't wait to talk about the experience in New Japan, talk about the experience in HOG, like the difference, comparing. Like, I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, it's definitely big change in style. But first thing I got to ask you, how'd you come up with the Tiny Giant name? I know you used to call yourself the biggest small luchador, but Tiny Giant's pretty catchy.
Well, the thing is, to be honest, the whole name came from a botch promo. I believe it was my second day in class. And it was like, hey, you, because they didn't know my name yet. Go do a promo. I'm like, I don't know what to say. As I say, whatever comes to mind. So I'm mentioning all my favorite, like, high flyers, of course, Amazing Red, Rey Mysterio, Chavo Guerrero, Eddie Guerrero. And I'm like, but they all got to look out, because the newest up and comer is the biggest small luchador, the Tiny Giant, Antonio Ricos. In my head, I'm like, oh, I just mentioned the fact that I'm short. But I was like, but everyone else, they say they loved it. And I'm like, you know what? I might keep it, because at the end of the day, yeah, my height is something that is obvious, but I'm also kind of a stat guy. So it's like, oh, it worked anyway. So even though it was a botch, I love the name. It literally just grew on me.
Well, it's definitely catchy. And you just got to pack the punch when you wrestle then to make up for it.
Got to make sure.
So when did you start training?
March 8th of 2023. I'm about to get my 2-year anniversary of training.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Like, it hasn't really been long, but like, even though, like, every time I'm there, it's like I always have to like soak up everything that I'm being taught. That's why, like, I'm at the position that I am now, because I made sure to practice every move. I remember the first week they were teaching me how to chain, even no matter where I was, people be looking at me funny. I was in the training station, I was either showering or I was at home. I'm just pretending I'm locking up with somebody and then doing arm ringers, go behinds, headlocks. I'm just like, okay, practicing every step to make sure that I get it right.
I could definitely picture you in the train station just practicing.
For a long time, I've been watching wrestling. Even apparently, this is something that my mother told me, but when I was a baby, I was watching wrestling with my father. He would put it on the TV and I would sit there and watch it. So one day when I was in college, I was just like, I want to get into this. So I looked up some schools, see what was around, see who specifically learned and knows the lucha style. And of course, that's where I got my foot into House of Glory.
You have a really interesting design on your mask. How did you come up with this? I think it's a great look.
Thank you. Well, originally, when I first came up with the idea of the mask, it was like, all I knew was like, oh, I wanted X for eyes for sure. What's everything else? So I'm Puerto Rican. So I looked into my Puerto Rican heritage, thinking about it and everything. And I noticed, like, sometimes we have traditional face paint. And usually the face paint is like a little line that covers the face right here to here with a little triangle right here. So I was like, okay, this looks good. Let me add a little bit more. Like, let me Tahino it up a little bit. So that's why I added the little Coquito frog here. And then in the back, I have my little Tahino sun right here. Coming from, like, especially, like I said, I did went to college. I did graphic design. So I designed it. And when I first looked at it, at first I was like, okay, should the X's be meshed or should the eyes be mesh? My very first design, the whole X was mesh. I don't really like it, because then it was like, I can't really breathe, because then they need more space here. And I want to show off my face. Of course, I want to show off my hair. Let's make the X's a little bit smaller and put the mesh inside the X. And pretty much is how I got what I got today.
So do you design all your gear or just your masks?
I design my mask, my gear, everything. Hunico, a great great luchador as well. He physically made this real. That and the rest of my gear. He is a great gear maker if you ever want to hit someone up for some lucha gear.
A luchador that has an incredible mask design that comes right to my head is Místico. Have you ever seen him wrestle live?
Yes, I have an MLW. It was him and Atlantis Jr. for the Opera Cup.
I was there.
Oh, really? Yeah, I was one of the
Where are you
workers.
sitting? Oh, you were the workers?
Oh, yeah, I was one of the workers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I got to sit, watch that match. I loved it. Seeing him live is different than seeing him on TV. And that's one thing I always loved doing. It's like seeing certain wrestlers live because it's like a different atmosphere, a different aura compared to what you see to them on TV.
Definitely. I saw him with Atlantis Jr. I saw him at the show before that, where it was him and Rocky when he won the title there. It was a bucket list thing to see Místico wrestle.
Definitely, because him, Rey Mysterio, definitely Kalisto as well. La Parca, love La Parca, and Mil Máscaras. Those are the best luchadors in my mind. Not only the way they're massive, but the way they wrestle, especially La Parca, because La Parca is one of the people that I idolize because of the fact that my wrestling style is lucha and a little bit of strong, but also I like to add a little bit of comedy to it because obviously I'm a little guy, you know, I'm gonna have a little bit of fun as well. If you saw at the LPW show, the really tall dude, Austin Carter, which I got to get my one-on-one against him, but he surprised me by getting behind me, and I had to make sure. Sometimes you just got to check, but I was too scared to look behind, so I had to make sure if it was him or not. And the fact that people actually loved the match, it made me feel good about myself. They're like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Do you take certain moves or certain like reactions or ways you hold yourself, carry yourself in the ring from other luchadors, like some of your favorites?
One thing that I will admit that I took would be, of course, the what I like to call the Tiny Rana, but I took that from my sensei, Amazing Red. It's like a DDT Spike Rana. So he used to do it all the time in TNA. Him and Kalisto used to do it, but my sensei always would tell me like he the one that did the move first. So I like that's one move that I really love to do because it really it shows my character. Like, okay, I'm small. This is a small version of a Rana, so. Tiny Rana. Of course, arm drags, of course, like the wheelbarrows. Like I like the wheelbarrow specifically I take from Rey Mysterio because I love the way his wheelbarrows, they always look so smooth. They look like he's literally elegant, like he's so light.
I can't believe he's still moving the way he does. He does not look like he's in his 50s.
He does not act like it at all. His wrestling style has not changed since he was 19. He keeps it exactly the same, but yet it's always amazing.
I think he's even moving better than he was like 5, 6 years ago.
He's taking even more risks now too, doing certain moves, especially that one with him and Kofi Kingston when they it was I think it was kind of supposed to be like a Tiger Driver, but it was like he kind of still flipped all over. I was like, whoa,
Yeah, it was like a real life glitch from a video
it
game.
was a real life glitch, but it still looked amazing.
Speaking of that Kofi Kingston and Rey Mysterio glitch, I want to see what it's like for you to be practicing some of your high flying moves. Do you have some trouble coming up with new moves, some trouble practicing certain moves? Are you thinking of any new moves you want to add to your arsenal?
I remember when I first learned how to do a hurricanrana, I was so scared because when it comes to a hurricanrana, like obviously I'm jumping in the air and I'm using my body weight to throw the guy over. Am I gonna just slip, hit my head? It's like sometimes I get into my own head about it. But like if I keep practicing the moves, it's like the more it becomes like, okay, second nature, it becomes easy. It just takes time, it takes practice. You're gonna fail a couple of times, but don't make the failure let you down because eventually it's gonna lead to success. Another move that I would like to do is an acai moonsault. And I love that moonsault with a passion. And that's a move that I would like to add to my repertoire one day.
Do you have any funny stories of you messing any of these dives up? It's got to be hard. It's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, I have a couple. Like, of course, me, I remember one time during class, I did a canjilo. But even though I got caught, I kind of like fell like on my back. Someone still caught me enough where it's like it didn't hurt as bad. But after that, I was like, should I even try to continue this move? But at the same time, it's like, you know what? It was one mistake. Sometimes that happens. I'm still practicing. Sometimes I'm not flipping all the way. Sometimes I'm not even landing on my stomach or my feet. It's just that's the main thing when it comes to high flying is believing you can do it. If you can believe you can do it, there is like a 90% chance you are going to hit this move beautifully. If you don't believe it, if you chicken out last second, it's going to look bad. You're going to slip. You're going to fall because you're too much in your head.
Last summer, you had the opportunity to train at the New Japan Pro Wrestling Academy. What was that like? I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous because I saw some of the pictures you posted with the people. Man, what an experience it had to be.
It was a great experience. So, like around that time frame, the way they ask you to see if you want to become a member of the New Japan Dojo is you have to have at least 1 year of wrestling training experience and 1 year of actual wrestling experience. So I haven't even debuted yet in an actual one-on-one match at all at that time frame. Literally at the New Japan Academy showcase was my debut match, my true debut match. I was in Battle Royals before that, but it doesn't really count at least in their eyes, because like, okay, you didn't really have a one-on-one match, anything like that. But it was like, okay, that's fair. So I started off in the beginner's class. In the beginner's class, they're showing us how they hit the ropes differently, how they, do their quarter rolls differently. Like when you do a quarter roll, they like to slap with their quarter rolls, versus like when I learned the quarter roll, it's like you had to be quiet. So that was a weird adjustment for me. And then after like a couple months of like the DKC seeing me and a couple of other HOG people there, seeing like, oh, these guys know what they're doing. How about you guys come to an advanced class? We went to the first advanced class that we went to. We had to do 500 squats and 100 lion push-ups.
Oh my God.
And when I first started, I was like, okay, this is good so far. Once we reached 300, in my head, I was screaming. Because I'm like, this is intense. This is painful. I never reached this far in squats, but obviously the way I am, I'm kind of stubborn. So it's like, I'm gonna complete this. I'm gonna make sure. And after I did the 500, we like they made us walk around the ring to get feeling back in our legs. I'm like, okay, so we're gonna get into the ring. He's like, no, 100 lion push-up, which are also like known as Hindu push-ups. So it's like you put your hands down, you're kind of like in a downward dog, but your legs are open. And when you go down, you're going down with your forearms to pick yourself back up and push. So we had to do 100 of those. So every Tuesday we would do that.
Every
Every
you
Tuesday.
did that every week?
Yes, every week we did that.
Not for me.
It was painful, but I am very thankful for it. It was intense, but I loved it because like it made me feel stronger, and it made me like actually get stronger. It was like at first I was like, I hate doing this, but it's like it actually worked for me. Like I got bigger, I came back bigger, I got the giant part of the tiny. So that's what made me happy. It was intense. We did that. We did circuits. Like the main reason why I love the New Japan Dojo so much, and why I encourage certain people to go, is like is literally breaking you down to rebuild you. Like everything you know is different, but in a good way. It's like showing you the different style and how unique the style is compared to the other styles that you learn.
So this lasted a whole summer.
The whole summer, like 3 months.
Leading up to your first tag team match, your de actual debut, not in a battle royal. How did that feel?
It was nerve-wracking, because in the back, with my partner Jacob Judge, we're talking to each other, we're trying to get each other hype. This is the real deal. So I was nervous at first, but once we went through that curtain, the nerves just went away, and I just felt ready. But man, leading up to that, it was just because I wasn't even sure if I was gonna be one of the people that would be picked to be on that showcase. Like, this is what we came here for. We came to prove that we are good enough to be on shows and to be booked, whatever. And we did that, and we achieved it. We didn't come off with a win, but it was one hell of a fight. That's all I can say.
I'm gonna have to try and find that match. I wanna check it out.
it's the New Japan Academy Showcase 4.
Showcase 4. Everybody watching, check it out. What was it like working? I know you said you worked with Fred Rosser. You worked with Shane. I saw Shane Haste was in a picture. What was it like working with all those guys?
Fred Rosser, you could just ask him anything, and he will literally break it down to you in the simplest way to you to understand. He would tell us about his experience of how many times he tried out for WWE, and they kept saying no to him. They said no to him, I believe he said like 20 times.
Wow.
Even though they kept saying no, he kept trying. And then obviously you saw him, he was a member of the Nexus. He literally became part of a tag team, won the tag team titles in WWE. Like, When they say his name is Mr. No Days Off, he does not take a day off. And he managed to succeed and got into WWE. And then eventually he became the head coach in New Japan, the Cali. Shane Hayes is a hilarious man. Like when they said that he's hysterical, Shane Hayes, he is hysterical. Like he is a very funny guy, but he's also like managed to mix, like obviously, like telling us how to do certain moves and how to do certain attacks, but still makes it like entertaining for us. I'm personally a fan of TMDK, so seeing him like show up at the school, I was like, wow, I wonder what he's gonna teach us. Like he taught us like how to do a forearm. He taught us like okay, like how to make things look realer and like how certain things in New Japan is different from the casual US wrestling style. But he also brought Robbie Eagles with him.
Oh.
So that was awesome to learn from Robbie Eagles, because Robbie Eagles was one of my favorite members of TMDK. So learning from him was also a great experience as well. Like he showed us how to do like a pin where you cannot escape. Like he
Really?
literally did it on me and I was like, I really can't get out. So that was fun for me to learn.
That's awesome. So you're saying how the Japanese style is different than like the American style and how they do certain moves, with Shane Hayes showing you how to do those forearms. I know we talked about it a little bit before the podcast, but what's that like? You're saying it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. So the way I was shown how to do a forearm is usually like what I was told, it's like a chicken wing. You usually hit with this side of your arm over here. But the way they do it in New Japan is they hit with this part right here, and they would like swing it all the way around and hit you right in the neck.
Oh man.
So like those are painful. Like I remember watching like old matches. Of course, one of the best people to hit forearms, Misawa. I would watch his matches all the time. I'd see how he hit the forearms, and I'm just like, wow, this look intense, seeing the sweat fly off these guys and everything. Now being able to feel them was a whole different experience. The pain was different. Like I said, I was doing it with one of my friends, Onyx Amagi. He hit me over here and it was bruised for a couple days because of how many times we was going back and forth with each other learning these forearms. Personally, I started after taking them, I just like, you know what? I'm just gonna start doing them. I like those forearms better now.
No, they definitely look great. And I know that hurts for a fact, because I do Shaolin Kempo karate, so I got a little bit of a background with martial arts. And when we do board breaking, we sometimes do it with a downward elbow like that. So if you can go through a piece of wood like that, I don't want to feel it if you're doing it to me.
Yeah, it's not a nice feeling at all.
No, what about the chops?
Wow, the chops—they just love. It's like they showed us two variations of chops. It's like a normal chop where you just hit them in the chest, but there's also chops where you also hit with your forearm. I hate those. Those are—they like to call. Some people like to call them the Gunther chop because Gunther likes to chop with his forearm. When I took some of those, I was like, "Wow, these really suck." Especially seeing like the way Kenta chops as well. It's like, those hurt way more than any chance I ever felt.
Were you a fan of Lucha Underground?
I was a big fan of Lucha Underground. Like, it was a good amount of drama. It was a good amount of wrestling. It was like, some of the things that happened there was just mind-blowing. Like, and Helico jumping from I don't know how many stories just to do a crossbody. The way Lucha Underground was built, the way it was like, especially the wrestlers that were there. The wrestlers that were there is really what made Lucha Underground the way it was. Like, even though, like, most of these wrestlers we all know, like, okay, they were just these guys on their masks, like, oh, that was Ricochet the whole time. Not gonna lie to you, I did not know at first.
You couldn't tell by
I
the
first, I couldn't tell. Because I was like, this guy's good. He looks like his tattoo looks familiar, but I just don't know who you are.
They had Swerve.
They had Jeff Cobb,
Penta was there.
Johnny Mundo. Like, seeing them was awesome. Especially Johnny Mundo, because he also came to the dojo at one point. Him explaining, like, learning the style of Lucha, especially, like, since, like, there's a language barrier, it's like, it's a lot of charades, he explained. Sometimes you just got to read the body, or you just got to read the person and understand what they're trying to tell you.
So it's just like body language, you could just tell?
All body language. That's why they, I even my sensei be saying, like, you got to know these moves. Sometimes then people are not going to say, they're just going to show you. That's it. You got to read what you think they're going to do and just hope that you're right.
I never thought that. That's insane. What is your dream match?
Ooh, dream. I have a couple of dream matches,
Let me hear
but
it.
so one dream match, of course, has to be me and Rey Mysterio. I would love to wrestle Rey Mysterio. Like, he's the one that inspired me to do lucha. He's the one that inspired me to believe that I could do what I can do. Another dream match is obviously also my sensei. I would love to fight Amazing Red. It would be the best. Like, that would be something that would be my completed bucket list in HOG. Not only winning the Cruiserweight title, but also being able to have a one-on-one with him. New Japan wise would be Kushida. The fact that I got to train with them was a great experience. I watch a lot. So also in Dragon Gate, KZ. He's my favorite baby face in that company. He has done some of the best Euros. He's really fast paced. He's really good. That's another one. Pro Wrestling Noah, Dragon Bane. He has a really awesome mask design as well. The high flyingness that he has, plus the strong style he learned from Noah as well, is a really good mesh.
So that means you're going to be stepping into Japan.
Yes, definitely. That is a goal. Go to New Japan, actually wrestle New Japan, and of course win the junior heavyweight title one day. Actually, even better, I want to win the tournament. I want to win Best of the Super Juniors.
You have any advice for any aspiring wrestlers, anybody that's wanting to try to put on their own mask?
You have to know that this is going to be hard. It's not easy. It's not going to be a simple cakewalk. It's not like, oh, I come in and within a month or two, I get to have a match or I get to do this and that. It's like, no, this is a long game. It's not going to be quick and easy. I've been part of LPW since literally the beginning. It's like we have been growing more and more, where it's like we are almost, I say this as a joke. We are season three of NXT at this point. We want to make sure this company grows and flourish, because we don't know how long, like, some of us are going to be there. Maybe some of us might get called up to HOG. Some of us might, move to other places. We never know what can happen. Some people might start going to New Japan. They might go get called out to be part of WID. We don't know what could happen. So we want to make sure we grow this company well enough so whoever takes over behind us, they don't have to do as much work as us. This year, my main goal right now is to be part of HOG. I want to do at least, maybe, hopefully, this year, one six-way match. I would love to do one six-way match. And hopefully, if I do come out with the win, become the first LPW original to become an HOG Cruiserweight champion.
Everybody out there that's listening, let's make it happen. Let's put him in this six-man match. He's got everything it takes. He's willing to put in the work. Infamous one. You better have your eyes on the back of your head, 'cause the tiny giant's coming for you.
The biggest small luchador.
Right, so tiny giant, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Tiny Giant Ricos. Tiny Giant RICCXS. That's where you can find me at Instagram.
All right, everybody go check out his Instagram. He's got some good stuff on there. Lots of pit posts from when he was training at New Japan. A lot of LPW pictures. They got some talented guys getting some great shots of you. So it's been a pleasure having the chance to ramble with you about wrestling.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming on. I was looking forward to this one. I'm glad we were able to make it work. So I've been your host, Nick Pearl. This has been the Tiny Giant, Antonio Ricos, and I'll catch you all on the next one. Let's keep rambling, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to